This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
Listening to Catholic Weekend, episode number 263 for the week ending Saturday, March 7th, 2015. Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I am your captain.
I'm your captain.
Captain Jeff from captain. Roswell, Georgia. And joining me today, let's see, in the plains of Atlanta, where we bless the rains, Sarah Fabulous.
Hello, everybody.
And also joining us today from Malta, Montana, Father Corey Stika.
How's it going, everyone?
Awesome. Okay, well, the people that are listening to this show, the way they normally do, you know, the podcast method, they have no idea that we are doing this much later in the day, and we've been experiencing a few minor technical details and such, but we are here finally, and welcome to Catholic Weekend. And as I said, it's March 7th. And man, I can't believe how fast the month is going already. Mm-hmm. I mean, the year is going.
Exactly.
So what all is new with you two? We'll start with Sarah because she wasn't here with us last few episodes. So what's been going on with you? Or not?
Cranking through all the marketing prep for the book. So emailed a bunch of folks begging for endorsements, and you know, been working on my website a lot. You know, I'm trying to blog every day, and you know, just put information up about the book, and just kind of getting ready and trying to book some speaking gigs. So for any of you out there that need a speaker for anything, obviously a teenager is not probably my target market, but would love to come out and speak at your parish. So that's next on the list of lots of outreach there. So, and then just work is just really, really, really busy. So when I'm not working, I'm working on book stuff, or otherwise I'm sleeping. So it's just crazy.
So when you're not working, you're working.
Basically.
Yeah. So what is this book thing? What are you talking about? Just to remind people if they didn't already know.
Oh, well, I wrote a book. It's called The Catholic Drinkie's Guide to Homebrewed Evangelism. And it's a book about the beer brewing monks, about some saints, how to use, you know, evangelize in the new evangelization, and you can learn how to homebrew. So it's kind of a really cool jack of all trades kind of book.
Oh, so you're actually giving instructions on homebrewing?
Oh, yeah, that's half the book.
Oh, so you are the Charlie Papazian of the Catholic world. And do you even know who Charlie Papazian is?
No.
He is basically the father of the homebrewing movement in the United States of America.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And for those of us old geeks, old geezers who have been brewing beer for quite some time, I brewed, my big decade was the 90s. That's when I actually started brewing in the mid-80s. And I think I brewed last in, I don't know, maybe 97, 98, something like that. And yeah. So, American Homebrewers Association, Charlie Papazian, he wrote this book that every homebrewer had. It was their Bible for brewing beer. So, anywho,
cool.
And there was another guy too, Byron Birch, I think. He was the one that was on the cover of Mother Earth. What was it called? Is it called Mother Earth magazine?
I don't know. That sounds really not my
Mother Earth
alley.
News or something like that. Yeah. So, anyway. This is not a show about homebrewing, so I'll stop talking.
Although all three of us have or are homebrewing, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to do
and
it
I did
again.
Brew today. I brewed an IPA today.
Oh, sweet.
For you. For the CNMC, for some folks at CNMC.
The what?
Yeah.
The CNMC. Hey, believe it or not, I can really gladly say now that registration is open for the CNMC, I think. I don't know if the site's up, if the site is still up. I think the registration...
Still having technical difficulties with the site, but things are getting there. And once the site's ready to go, registration will be open or is open. Or
apparently, what's happening with our site, if you have been experiencing woes with our website, it is apparently because we host Terry Jones' great saints.sqpn.com site over there on a subsite of our or subdomain on our server. And apparently the thing is getting so unwieldy that it just keeps bringing our servers down.
Oh.
And that's one of the reasons why we're making the move to a different server. That and also because we're going to save a lot of money because basically what we were paying every month, we pay just a little bit more than that per year now with the new server we're going to be using.
Oh, wow.
So we're trying to be good stewards with everybody's money that donates to SQPN, who are friends of SQPN. So that's what's happening with that. And so right now we're kind of making this transition. And actually, we're still on the old servers. And that's why the thing keeps going down, because people are looking up Saints information, which is good. You know, it's a good problem to have, I guess, unless you're trying to register for the CNMC. So, but I'll talk about the CNMC on the break. Not Father's show, but
right.
One of our breaks. So anyway, so Father Corey, what's been up with you?
Oh, it's been, you know, a typical busy Lenten week. It seems like every night I've got something going on, and even nights when I didn't think I had stuff going on, I had stuff going on. So it's just kind of one of those busy periods. Just all kinds of, you know, all different devotions, different meetings, different, you know, masses and things, you know, silly things that priests do.
Silly.
You know, the silly stuff that we do on a regular basis.
So are you having any missions in your parish, or like bringing somebody in to do a mission? Or are you doing your own or anything like that?
Not really this year. We haven't done that in a few years. It's something I keep thinking about, but it's one of those things that always gets put on the list and then forgotten about till later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, let's plan this later. Oh, wait, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, like many parishes, we'll have our penance service here. I think this week is our penance service. Of course, we have Stations of the Cross. We have other activities going on. So we keep our Lent pretty full.
Is it not true that if people actually listen to or watch Catholic Weekend, that is their penance? Then they don't
I
need
would
to
say it is definitely a penitential act, yes.
Okay, yeah. So we're just trying to help you all out in Lent. So how are your personal Lenten spiritual and or physical sacrifices going?
Not bad. One of the things I gave up for Lent was watching some of the church gossip. There's the church politics that goes on, and you know, there are those who there's any number of people who are willing to pontificate on any number of issues, and it just causes a lot of stress and heartache. And so I've given up a lot of that. So I don't read a lot of those articles about, you know, Pope Francis is leading the church wrong, or, you know, anybody who's kind of followed church politics, you know the kind of articles I'm talking about, where it's more about the inside baseball of the church than it is really about the gospel and the Eucharist and evangelization and salvation, you know, those things that the church exists for.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, I don't know why I just thought of this. When I was on the way to the venue for my daughter's ballet, which I'll talk about in a minute, there was apparently just right up the road from me on Alpharetta Highway, there must be an abortion clinic, because I saw probably 9-10 people out there with signs, and they were all bundled up because it was still pretty cold.
Sure.
This morning, you know, about abortion killing babies and
oh, wonderful.
Yeah. So I said a quick prayer for them and thank God that there are people out there that will, you know, mm-hmm. kind of put themselves out there like that to try to talk people out of doing that. So.
Exactly. You know, it's a wonderful movement, not just in the Catholic Church. It's not just Catholic, but mm-hmm. it's primarily Catholic, because most of the people who are involved are Catholic, is 40 Days for Life. Mm-hmm. And that's probably what they're involved in. And that's just a wonderful movement of just taking like the period of Lent. And they do it throughout the year. It's not just during Lent, but that's one of the periods they do. and using that as an opportunity to pray for the end of abortion, to work for the end of abortion. It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it is. So, Sarah, I forgot. Have we already... you know what? I think Sarah gave up Catholic weekend for Lent.
I am on a... I haven't really talked about it publicly, but like I'm on a really strict diet because I'm trying to lose a bunch of weight. I've already lost about 30 pounds since Christmas. And so I really didn't give anything up because I'm already on such a strict diet. There's not really anything to give up. I haven't been drinking since before Christmas. I'm not eating any desserts. There's nothing for me to give up because my diet is so regimented as far as food goes. Been trying to not sleep in as much and like make myself get up during the work week, get up a little bit earlier so I can really prepare for the day. And so that was kind of the one thing that I was doing as far as, a physical kind of sacrifice.
Well, you don't have like a regular time to go, like regular working stiffs, like 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning?
Well, I work from home, right? So I can get out of bed at 8:25 and start work. So trying to not do that anymore and be a human being and get up and do stuff. Make breakfast and make my bed and, do stuff around the house before I start work.
How's that working out?
It's going.
Well,
I've been staying up too late working on stuff for the book. Like I'll be up blogging till too late, and I'm like, so I'm trying to figure out the right balance still. But that's okay. That's the point, right?
Well, we're all working out our salvation in big chunks and small chunks, and right now, maybe that's not the right term to use. Small chunks. I think of something else. Anyway. I was going to give up beer. Then I realized that I have all these airline pilot guy meetups that I'm supposed to do in Lent and didn't even think about it. And I went, okay, I'm going to have to think of something else. And so I gave up chocolate, which is easy, but I do love chocolate. And I'm trying to do some more reading, spiritual reading and that kind of thing. But I'm having mixed results as well. I think we all go through this, don't we? We kind of set this high bar and then some of us really fail quite quickly.
I always love the people who, I'm going to spend an hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament and I'm going to pray all the Liturgy of the Hours and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. It's like, you don't even say an Our Father every day.
Mm-hmm. Like you're setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah, exactly.
Why don't you start with something simple? Like you're just going to spend 5 minutes. That's it. Say an Our Father and spend 5 minutes and go from there. You know?
I think you need to start with praying the entire rosary, all 5 decades. Yeah. Every day.
Yeah.
Twice a day. No, just kidding.
Do all 20 mysteries at one sitting.
Exactly.
I did the rosary for Lent last year. And
it's only four series of mysteries.
It's really hard to keep up with that every day. Like, I know that sounds so lame, but it's a good challenge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, it is. If you're not used to it, it's a really good challenge. And of course, you can do it doing other things. You're driving.
But I feel like that's cheating.
Why?
It is, kind of.
Really? I don't know. I mean, I
almost like hurry up and let's finish this. I don't know. I don't know if that counts. Like, you're thinking the whole time, like, am I done yet? Am I done yet? Like, does it count?
Well, one easy way or effective way that I found is using a recording, like somebody praying like Greg and Jennifer Willits. Yep. They do that spiritual rosary, and that is awesome because, they keep you on track, and then they have the little spiritual readings in between.
Absolutely.
And even if you're driving, it kind of keeps your mind focused on it.
Yeah, that one's cool. I have another one too that I sometimes use. Hmm. I forget what it is, but a bishop does it.
Ah, the old bishop. Speaking of bishops, we'll talk about the passing of a bishop just a few days ago after we get back from our break. And I think, yes, here's the music coming up. This is our first break. Hey, we've made it like a quarter of the way.
Yes.
Yay, team. So we have a special event coming up in June. We've been talking about it for months, and Greg Willits just reminded me, he's our opening keynote speaker, and of course we're talking about the Catholic New Media Conference. It started off as the Catholic New Media Celebration, and this year we're kind of going back to that whole celebration theme. It's kind of a homecoming of sorts. We're trying to bring back all of the old gang, all of the old board members, etc. People like Mike and Catherine. You didn't hear her. They got a divorce. And now Catherine's married to Mike. No, it's Mac. Mac and Catherine Barron. We have Greg and Jennifer Willits. We have, you're going to see Dr. Paul Camerata, the great host of the Saint Cast and the voice of God on SQPN. And that and many, many more. Some of the regulars that you're used to seeing and hearing on Catholic Weekend, Father Corey, Sarah Vabulous, Maria Johnson, Jeff Nielsen, and who did I forget? Anybody?
Steve?
Gosh, I thought I mentioned him first. Steve Nelson. Of course, Steve. If you're listening, I'm sorry. But he's just going to go, well, that's just par for the course. One of the different things about this year's celebration, and if it really flops, it's probably because it's my fault. So I'll go ahead and tell you right now. But because we were having it here in Atlanta, Maria and I thought, you know, let's instead of spending, you know, the money that you give us to, you know, spend on the new evangelization and have, you know, pay somebody else to do all the organizing, why don't we, you know, the couple of us board members do it, because we're here in Atlanta and this is our backyard, and we thought it would be really easy. It's not easy at all. And but anyway, we're getting there, and we finally have the registration open on the website, and we have a place for you to click for getting your rooms. We're staying at the Marriott Gateway, right there next to the conference center. And also right next door is the Spring Hill Suite. So if you prefer a suite type setup and free breakfast in the morning and you want to put more people in the room and share the expense, then there's an option there as well. It's all on the website. Just look for the CNMC link, and then you can find out all about our conference and lodging options and such. And I would recommend that you jump on it quickly so you know, you get a spot, especially for the rooms. They may be going pretty quickly. So the Eucharistic Congress is the day before our conference, and so you might want to plan on coming out on Saturday morning or even Friday night, attending the Eucharistic Congress. And then it'd be great if you joined us at the Jubilee Dinner on Saturday night, which is a separate thing. And then, of course, the conference itself on Sunday. And we start off with a Mass, you know, starting off right, and then right on into the celebration panels that we're going to talk about. Catholic New Media, New Evangelization, Past, Present, and Future. So, again, more information forthcoming in the next weeks and months, but we do recommend that you head over to cnmc.sqpn.com as soon as possible to sign up. All right. Looking forward to that, as I know you two are as well.
Oh, it'll be a lot of fun.
So
much fun.
Yes, it will be. So I mentioned before the break that we're going to talk about a bishop that just passed, and the longtime bishop / cardinal of New York City, Cardinal Egan. I think he was wasn't he New York?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
He just passed away this week. I think he was 82, 83 years old, something like that. Mm. Did you hear about that?
Yes.
Yeah. He was a good guy.
He started the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Yeah. He was the first to do the conversation with the cardinal.
Mm-hmm.
Show that now Cardinal Dolan continues.
So he kind of had a big part in the new evangelization.
Oh, I very much think so. I think he realized the importance of it, or at least at the bare minimum had people that he trusted who helped him understand the importance of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes that's just as important as maybe he doesn't quite understand it, but you know what? If you believe it, if you understand it, I'll let you handle it. You know, I think a good argument is that he kind of put the culture in place there in that archdiocese to support the new evangelization. So that's a good thing, you know. And again, something that his successor, Cardinal Dolan, has continued and has continued to grow, I know.
Mm-hmm. So let's not forget to include Cardinal Egan in our prayers. I mean, he was a bishop, a priest, bishop, cardinal, and but that, you know, he still needs our prayers. In fact, he may actually need them more than a normal person.
Exactly. So
let's don't assume anything, right?
Yeah. Believe me, we those of us who are in the clergy need it probably just as much, if not more.
Yeah. Well, I saw this. This is, you know how I get irritated every single year. During Advent, we listen to Christmas music, and then the first day of Christmas, we have that last day of Christmas music in most markets around at least the United States. Mm-hmm. Then the second day of Christmas, which is a very important day, it's my birthday, but it's also the feast of Saint Stephen the Martyr. It's also Boxing Day. It's a lot of things. First day of Kwanzaa. Yay. And I always get upset with the local stations because they're not playing Christmas music anymore. So let me press this button here. See what's playing. Can you hear that? I know it doesn't sound
like it. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's NSYNC Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays album.
I love that song.
Okay. So, okay, it's you're not hearing it anymore, but I am, so I'm going to hit the stop button. Okay. So I'm listening to Santa1057.com.
A full-time Christmas channel.
In upstate New York somewhere. And it's obviously, if you live up there, you can tune into it on your car radios or your radios in your house. But if not, you know, anywhere on the internet, you can head over to Santa1057 or 1057.com, and you can listen to the music live, constant, continuous Christmas music year-round. So I thought that was interesting.
Couple of friends who will like that because they listen to Christmas music year round. The rest of us are like, yeah, not so much.
But, you know, it's kind of like, I guess it's up in Syracuse, somewhere up in that, or Albany, New York. A Capital Region radio station now plays Christmas music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. WQSH FM, once known as Pop Crush, 105.7. Pop Crush.
Pop Crush.
Yeah,
okay.
Switched over to the new festive format on Wednesday at midnight. So this is just, I mean, this news is like so fresh. You can bite into it and it's still warm. They rebranded the station to Santa 105.7. You can listen to the station live online. And the station owners said, market research revealed a strong demand for holiday hits all year long. And the company said the holiday music is not a stunt and promises everything from Sting to Bing.
Yeah. Clever.
Hey, whatever.
Yeah. This might strike some as being risky in this environment of new media, but I've looked at the numbers and they don't lie, said Town Square Media's local market president Jake Demon in a statement. There's literally a clamoring for Christmas music 24/7, 365, 52. Never heard anybody do that. Lots of numbers there.
I don't know. I mean, I like Christmas music, but I really do feel like by the time, because now it starts, right after Halloween. So really, even by the time Christmas comes around, I'm done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, admittedly, I listen to a lot of satellite radio now instead of the regular radio stations. And at least there you can kind of hide from it because they don't start playing the Christmas music, the holiday music, excuse me, you got to be politically correct, the holiday music on the regular stations, you know, the 80s or the classic rewind or something like that until...
No, they never do, though.
Well, about a week or two before Christmas, they do start bringing some in.
Yeah.
It's not as prevalent, though, because they do have their, you know, four or five holiday channels. The sad part is December 26th, they shut down their regular holiday channels for other things. But, you know, it's, I like listening to the Pops channel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that one's good.
Because it's great music. It's more the classic. It's not the the rock or anything, country or rock or anything
like
that.
No, it's more like Mannheim Steamroller. That's my favorite.
Yeah, it's Mannheim Steamroller, or it's big band, or it's orchestra or something like that. You know, it's the more classic Christmas music that people think of.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I don't know if it's something I'm going to be listening to every day, but at least if you have a hankering, you have options. Anyway, yeah. I just thought that was kind of interesting.
The sad part is I can only think of when I was in high school, a radio station in Williston, North Dakota, near where we were living, they converted from country to classic rock, I think it was. And they commemorated it by playing the song Louie Louie for 24 hours.
Straight?
Straight.
Wow.
Who thought that was a good idea?
That does not sound like a good idea at all.
And that's kind of what I'm wondering, if this is something like that, where they say it's not a gimmick, but it might be.
Yeah. Wow. It could be. You never know. They're getting a lot of exposure, a lot of press for this. That's for sure.
Exactly.
So I don't know. You know, if it's anything like the Atlanta market, like every week or two, it seems like the stations change formats. I mean, I'm completely lost here, Sarah, in Atlanta, because, you know, as soon as I find one, like, remember that oldies station, the classic oldies?
Yeah, Fox 97.
No, it was it was higher up in the dial. It was not actually from Atlanta. It was like a syndicated national thing. I don't know. Maybe you never listened to it. But it was mostly 60s and 70s, you know, music.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, it was like classic 90. No, well, there was 96 rock.
Yeah, but it was like 106 something classic oldies or something like that. I don't know. I don't know where they were out of, but not here. And then, you know, it was like, you know, I put a preset on my radio dial, and then all of a sudden I hit it, and it's like something else. I don't know what's going on.
I don't listen to the terrestrial, is that the right word?
Yes.
Radio here in Atlanta, or really ever. I've had satellite radio for, I don't know, like 12 years now, and I bought a lifetime subscription back in 2008 or maybe 2009. So I paid it. They let me pay it quarterly, so I paid it off in 3 quarters. So I never have to pay again. So I have this lifetime subscription, so that's what I listen to. Or, honestly, if I'm in my car, a lot of times I plug in my phone and listen to stuff off my iPod. So,
yeah, I think more and more people are doing that, that's for sure. But, you know,
I don't even know what's cool anymore. Like, I just learned about Uptown Funk, but it's really good.
Is that the Bruno Mars?
Yeah, it's great. I like to dance to it around my apartment by myself.
Yeah, I mean, I love funk, and I remember hearing
it's coming
that.
Back, and I think that it's because of Daft Punk and their album that they put out like a year and a half ago or something like that, and so it's really coming back in a big way. Funk style, like, it's obviously updated, but it's got the funk background
nice.
To it.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Is this it? No, this is an ad. Son of a gun. Yeah, I'm thinking, I don't remember it sounding like this. And why would I like that? Oh, come on. This is like a 30-second ad. I know that things that are free, you know, you got to pay the price, right? But,
well, that's not as bad as some of those where they dare you to skip it because it's like 3 minutes, 4 minutes long.
Yeah.
Advertisement.
Exactly. Yeah. This is it, right?
Yeah.
Boom. Boom, 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 boom. This is that ice cold Michelle fight for that white. Okay, so this is the kind of music that Maria Johnson and I were dancing to in discos back in the 70s.
You mean at Johnny's Hideaway?
Not Johnny's Hideaway, because I wasn't here in the 70s. I was in Mobile, and we had discotheques.
Disco Kroger here in Atlanta when there was the disco next
I actually
door.
Went to the Disco Kroger. what was it called? The Now I've forgotten the darn name of the place. The actual.
My mom used to go there too.
Yeah, they had at one point they had the dance floor. Father Corey was like thick acrylic, And below it was actually water with sharks swimming around.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. What was that called? Darn it. I can't think of the name of it. If anybody listening in the chat room, help me. If you're from the Atlanta area, maybe you'll remember. Where did the chat room go? Let's see.
I think it's having issues.
Okay. Okay. Well, no, here we go. Pop Crush, not to be confused with Orange Crush. They're just about 5 minutes behind us. That's all right.
Yeah.
And he was agreeing, Father Daryl was agreeing with Father Corey about priests needing as many or more prayers than the rest of us. So, good to hear and see that you're there, Father Daryl and Mike and Stancy and Lynn. Maybe she's there, maybe she's not, but, anyway, so we do appreciate everybody there in the chat room joining us for our, Catholic Weekend late edition, later in the day on Saturday, but, anyway, we just blew through our bottom of the hour break. I just had it muted because I don't think we were ready quite yet for a break.
But we're ready now.
Are we? Okay, let's play. Let's see. What can we play here? We can do this.
You like this one.
Llewellyn's Leap. Well, you know what? I can play something else, except I just don't have anything else on this machine right here. So, again, thank you for hanging in with us all these years, well, especially those of you who have been SQPN supporters for quite a long time, and we can't do what we do without you, and it's much, much, much appreciated. And if you're new, you just happen to stumble upon this, consider donating to our organization, the StarQuest Production Network. You can find all about our mission and what we do and sample some of the podcasts that are produced by SQPN by heading over to sqpn.com. You'll notice very, very conveniently right over here, if you're watching the video, I'm pointing to my left. There should be a column over there on the right side of the webpage that has a few ways to help support us. One is by becoming a friend of SQPN, and many of the people in the chat room are friends of SQPN, and again, we thank you and we appreciate you. There are other ways, though, that are not quite as difficult financially. If you do shopping on Amazon, and who doesn't, you can click on one of our links. We have several links for different countries. And by doing so, it basically puts a small little cookie, I think it's a chocolate chip, in your computer. And what that is, and don't worry, it's not, you know, malware or spyware or anything else. It basically tells Amazon that you want a portion of the proceeds of the sale to go to SQPN. And it expires in like 24 hours. So it's not something that stays there and starts eating away at your hard drive and doing weird things to your computer. So it really helps us out. Right, Sarah? You're kind of savvy when it comes to computers and stuff.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. So there's no harm in that little chocolate chip cookie residing in your machine, right?
Well, no, maybe the chocolate it'll be would... fine. And once you're tired of them, just clear your cash and cookies and you're good to go.
Hey, you know what? All you need to do if you want to clear your cash is have kids and have them go to college.
And they'll take care of the cookies too while they leave.
Yes, all that stuff. You won't have anything anymore at your house. So anyway, all joking aside, really does help out. It adds up, you know, a couple dollars here, a couple pennies there. It all adds up. And it's a significant amount that we receive from Amazon.com every month. So please consider that. And finally, Bluehost. Again, it's over there on the right-hand column. Bluehost.com, one of our partners in the new evangelization. They give us a nice little signing bonus if you sign up with them. So, and Sarah uses Bluehost, and I know that Steve does, and Father Roderick uses Bluehost for his personal blog. So I think they're all pretty happy with it, and I think you'll be too. So thank you again for your financial support. If you can't help us financially, pray for us, because we really do need your prayers. And I'm not joking. I usually am, but you know, we really do need and appreciate any prayers that you can send our way. So Sarah's laughing.
Just right. Laughing at you.
Okay. Well, I am so excited. You can tell I'm in a really good mood. And normally we do this show earlier in the day, and I'm still kind of waking up. But I've been up for a while. I've been up for a long while because my son was supposed to fly this morning because he missed the last flight last night out of Orlando. He's coming home from for spring break and also coming home to see his kid sister, his younger sister, be the lead ballerina in the ballet Cinderella. And he was doing some kind of a test and he missed the flight. And so he said, "Dad, I'm going to take the 5:20 departure tomorrow morning, this morning." And I went, "Okay, it's early." And he goes, "Yeah, but I want to make sure I don't miss the ballet today." Now, by the way, there's another performance tomorrow that Natalie's also the lead in. So I got up this morning at 6 and I was going to drive to the airport to pick him up. And I thought, you know, I want to make sure that he's actually on this flight before I drive all the way down to the airport to pick him up. So I sent him a text, no answer. I thought, okay, well, maybe he's on the airplane. So let me check the website. I can go to the website and see if, you know, he's listed and what seat he got. And, you know, he's definitely on the flight. I didn't see any information to support that. And I thought, well, you know, sometimes things fall through the cracks. So I picked up the phone and hit call. You know, you don't do that with kids these, or I say kids, you know, late teens and early 20s. You hardly ever call somebody. You just text them. But I figured, well, maybe the ring will wake him up. And sure enough, "Hello. Hey, did you make the flight?" "No, the phone just woke me up." So I'm glad that I didn't, you know, go all the way down to the airport and wait for him to show up. So we did some rearranging and he took a later flight. And actually he kind of didn't show up in time for the one that we were hoping he'd be on, so that he could make the performance this morning. So he missed today's performance, but he's finally here and he was running late. So that's why, one of the reasons why we postponed the show, so I could watch my daughter Natalie perform in Cinderella, and also so I could pick up my son from the train station, because he rode the MARTA too. Anyway, who cares?
We do.
That's why I'm excited, because I have a whole family back together. And that's always fun here at the Nielsen household. And it's just exciting right now because of the fact that, you know, Natalie is in kind of her swan song. You know, she's a senior in high school. She'll be graduating in May, and then she'll be going off to college. And she's hoping to continue to dance in college as well. In fact, keep her in your prayers, in fact. I think it's like next weekend or the weekend after, so one of these weekends in March, she is auditioning at Elon University for a spot in their dance program so she can major in dance. And there might be some scholarship money related to that as well. So
that'd be a good thing.
That would be a very good thing, because the school is not cheap. And
no, but it's a great school.
It's really, you know, I'd never heard of it. When she was talking about some of the schools that she was looking at, I went, "Elon, what is that?" It sounded like, you know, University of Phoenix or one of those online
universities. Yeah, I had some friends from high school that went there. They really heavily recruited out of my high school for kids to go there. And I did a campus visit. It's very nice.
Oh, it's a beautiful school. Yeah, we went there and looked at it. And it's a small school, which I think will suit her just fine. And so if you don't mind, keep my daughter, Natalie, in your prayers for her audition so that she can. And I think every, like 90% of the students there, either double major or major minor or whatever they have. I mean, it's a very, very high percentage there. So she will, you know, minor in something like English or whatever. I think she wants to eventually become a lawyer. Again, I'm not sure where we went wrong here, but, you know. Anyway, that's what she thinks she wants to do. So we'll see. So enough about me and my family. I just wanted to get that out because I'm just excited. So
that's cool. Very cool.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's talk about Finding Jesus, unless there's something that you guys are wanting to talk about.
I didn't watch it.
I know you didn't. But you know what? It's CNN produced this thing.
Yeah. I mean, I heard about it and I saw some people tweeting about it. But Sunday night I think I was working my blog. I don't think I watch TV.
Well, you know, Carmel Communications, one of the supporters of SQPN, by the way, and they've been supporters of the Catholic New Media Conference in years past, and they're friends of ours, and I'm on their email list, and they They send me occasional press releases now and then. And, you know, one of them was talking about this Finding Jesus thing on CNN. And, you know, I thought, well, maybe if this Catholic organization is actually promoting it, maybe it would be worth taking a look at. So I did record it last Sunday night. And I didn't watch the very end of it because what they were basically talking about on this first episode was the Shroud of Turin, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and also the cloth, not the veil of Veronica's veil, but it's something else, like the actual cloth that they would have used when they were bringing him down from the cross.
Oh yeah, the burial cloth. I know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I've seen a reproduction of that when I was in Rome last year, I think.
Okay, yeah. So they were talking about both of those things, mm-hmm. and looking at the evidence and trying to decide really how old this was, and then of course toward the very end. Now this is CNN, and they kind of leave you toward the end of the show with the expert that basically says, well, this could have been a photograph, and you know, this may not be as old as we think it is, and that kind of thing. So again, I can't really come down with a final judgment on it yet because I haven't actually watched the complete episode, but I've watched maybe at least 3/4 of it. And I think it so far has been pretty fairly representing things. But the bottom line is, even if this is a fake or a forgery, it doesn't matter because right. our faith does not depend on having that relic or that exactly. evidence, right?
Oh, exactly. You know, and admittedly, I'm very skeptical. I've also recorded it and didn't watch it. And just any time CNN or the History Channel or any of these secular channels try to treat religion, they never do, first of all, they never do a good job of it. They always want to look fair, which usually means they give more time to the people or put the people who are opposed to whatever religious text or object or belief that they're exploring seem to give them more time and more credence than the people who are for the religion. Mm-hmm. And that's their bias. Mm-hmm. We know that going in. Someone asked me about the show and said, you know, I didn't watch it. And they said, well, do you believe in the Shroud? I said, I do. Well, what about this? You know, and mentioned the carbon dating. Just kind of like, you know, look at how they handle other issues. Look at how the news media handles other issues.
All you have to do, honestly, Father, though, is just say the tilma of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Like, no one can prove
yeah.
that it's, I mean...
And we have evidence all the way back to the formation of the tilma itself. So.
Right, exactly. So, but when they try to, because at one point someone cut part of it out and tested it, and they're like, "Whoa!" But there's evidence that leads mm-hmm. back to the day that was created, and no yeah. one can explain it other than like, "Oh, it's definitely a God thing."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and really, again, I haven't watched the show, so they may be much more fair about it than my skepticism will allow. I'll admit.
Okay, well, if you're listening to this show, including the hosts, it's your homework again for next week. Then, if you didn't watch it this week, let's watch it and see. And I'm going to try to. I have it set to record the second episode tomorrow yep. night, and I just wanted to kind of put that out there, promote it because Carmel Communications was saying that that was something that we should promote, and so you know, there yeah, you go.
And I got that same email, and it kind of intrigued me because mm-hmm. I guess I was kind of. I guess I figured like I said, it was going to be a typical History Channel mm-hmm. hit piece, basically. But
yeah,
perhaps there's more there to look at.
I'd say, you know, and a lot of this, I don't know if it's because we have a certain probably bias to believe in things such as the tilma and the burial cloth and the shroud, et cetera. And so I think maybe we're sensitive to opposing views, just as people who look at those of us who have faith as, you know, a bunch of superstitious idiots. You know, they have their own preconceived biases as mm-hmm. well. So I don't know how much of it, you know, maybe the whole thing is pretty fair. I don't know. But yeah. Why don't you check it out and see, listener, and we'll talk about this next week.
Yeah, give us feedback and let us know what you thought of it.
Well, and I'd like to know this, Father Corey. You're not obligated as a priest to celebrate Mass every day?
Nope. We are. I mean, we have our obligation to attend Mass yeah. as on Sundays as everybody else does. We're not obligated. It is highly, 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 highly recommended.
Uh-huh. That's pretty highly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's probably the most important part of a priest spirituality to celebrate Mass every day. But it's not a requirement.
Okay. Well, how in the world do you guys actually pray the Liturgy of the Hours every day?
Hopefully very well. Unlike me, where sometimes it's 11 o'clock at night and I haven't even prayed morning prayer yet. Well, guess what? It's morning now. No.
So do you have to do the whole, I mean, all the prayers
yep.
in the Liturgy of Hours?
We are obligated to pray the main hours. So what
the
I mean
office.
By that is we're obligated to pray the office readings, mm-hmm. the morning prayer, one of the daytime prayers, not all three. You know, there's you look in there and you've got
mid-morning,
mid-afternoon, midday. We're obligated to pick one of those three and pray it.
Okay.
And usually it's depending on what time. So like yesterday it was about 12:30 when I prayed the daytime prayer. So I prayed noon prayer, midday prayer,
mm-hmm.
And then evening prayer, night prayer. We're obligated to pray the 5 hours, which is less than it used to be. It used to be you had to pray actually 9.
Wow.
Or 8, something like that. It was 8. They counted it as 7, but it was really 8.
That's amazing. That's a lot. That's a big obligation.
So the numbers have gone down as far as that's concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair, most of the hours don't take very long.
Yeah.
I think when you pray it publicly, it tends to take a little bit longer. But when you pray it privately, it only takes, you know, like, for example, I can usually pray morning prayer in about 10 minutes.
Okay.
You know, so it doesn't take that long privately.
So what's
how elaborate I want to
keep. So daily Mass, what's your fastest Mass?
Oh, I usually average about 20, 25 minutes.
Oh, right.
They got to get done, you know. They got to get to work or whatever they've got going on.
Exactly.
So.
You're thinking about the peeps. That's what you're doing.
Exactly.
Where did you receive your chalice? Or from whom?
I actually got mine from the Knights of Columbus.
Oh.
But I know many, 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 many priests, they get it from their family. It's a gift from their family at ordination.
Ah, okay. That's what this article here that I'm reading from says.
Yep.
They usually receive their chalice as a gift from their parents. It says here that priests pay taxes.
Boy, do we. The church is tax exempt.
Mm-hmm.
The priest isn't.
Mm.
I get taxed on my salary. And by the way, if there are any politicians listening, especially on the federal level, here's a hint. Make us so that we're like every other person in the United States that's not self-employed. We're really not.
Yeah.
Priests, as far as the IRS is concerned, for federal taxes, we have our taxes withheld just as everybody else does. It's a regular, you know, withholding, regular salary or payroll tax. For Social Security and Medicare, however, we're considered self-employed, so we have to pay the entirety of the self-employed Social Security Medicare tax.
That's a lot of money.
Yes, it is. It's 18%, mm-hmm. I think.
Wow.
So, and the parish does not, you know, unlike, you know, Jeff, Sarah, you both have half of your Social Security Medicare paid by your company. We don't have that. We have to pay it all. So the parish does not withhold that for us. Well, we have to ask for extra withholding for that. But yes, we pay taxes.
Yep. So. You pays your taxes, that's for sure. Here's one on this list, and I'll have this link in the show notes. It's the top 10 things you didn't know about priests. We don't have time to do every single one.
Mm-hmm.
But this one blows me away. They don't know everything about the Bible.
Nope.
Are you kidding?
Nope. We don't know everything. We might know more than some, less than others.
Now, Father Daryl and Father Corey, you know, maybe you'll agree with this one. Priests don't always like each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome to just the human condition, right?
Exactly. You know, I wish I could say that we're all buddy-buddy. And for the most part, I think I can, speaking for myself, I think I get along with most of the priests. That doesn't mean I always like them. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean I always agree with them. But I get along with most of the priests in my diocese. But the fact is, there are priests in my diocese that I really don't want anything to do with. And I think the feeling's mutual some days.
Yeah. Some of these.
But at the same time, you're going to love them no matter what. And you're going to pray for them and all of that. But that's just part of life. And, you know, you guys are just as human as Jeff, as me. And, like, I love everybody. But it doesn't mean that I'm able to get along well and click with everybody, you know?
Right.
I mean, some people I have very pleasant, just small talk relationship with. But we're not going to be best friends. Like, in the same way that a married couple or people date, you have to have, even with friendship, chemistry, commonness, and there's just something to it of how you pick your friends. And not you can't be friends with everybody. You can't.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
Yeah, God tells us, commands us, that we must love each other, everyone. Yeah. Doesn't mean we have to like them.
I was gonna say, I always kind of joke, you know, it doesn't mean you're going to want anything to do with them. Doesn't mean you're going to want to look at them ever again, but you still got to love them.
and this one here, I thought it was pretty much common sense, but apparently a lot of people think that because you're a priest, you don't have to go to confession.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would
that
be.
Would be nice. You know, if I could just go stand at a mirror and say, I absolve you from your sins, you know.
Now tell me you really don't do that.
No.
Okay.
You can't do it.
There'd be two problems if I did it. First of all, it wouldn't work. The sacrament wouldn't be celebrated. Secondly, it would be an abuse of the sacrament, which is another sin.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, again, this list we'll have in the show notes. Most often have never met the Pope, and that's believable. There are huge number of priests, and I mean, gosh, you know, how in the world could every priest actually meet the Pope?
Be nice.
Wait, you guys aren't all BFF with the Pope?
Nope. Yeah, wow. And of course, one of the top ones here on the list, number two, is some are married. And we've actually had married priests, or at least, a couple of married priests on Catholic Weekend over the years.
Yep.
And it's something that is a discipline of the Roman Catholic Church, but not of the Catholic Church entire, because, you know, remember, the Catholic Church is composed of, what is it, 22 or 23 rites?
Yeah.
The biggest one is the one that most of us are in, which is the Roman Rite or the Latin Rite or whatever, you know, the Roman Catholic Church. But
exactly.
The other 21 or 22 are Eastern rites, and many of them, if not all, allow priests to be married.
And actually, that's kind of a big deal now, where Pope Francis has finally, and I do mean this finally, overturned the ban on married Eastern Rite priests in the United States. That's one of the more scandalous issues, in my opinion, here in the United States and Europe, is that Eastern Rite priests who are permitted by their rites to be married men are, by the way, you have to be married when you're ordained, not the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
Once you receive ordination, a priest cannot become married. But Pope Francis has turned that over, because there were some bishops here in the United States thought it would be scandalous and confusing, and it's like, you know, that's not a very good reason.
Yeah, I mean that's definitely a consideration, but it's not a good reason to not allow it.
Exactly.
But this is from Why Priest, WHYPRIEST, whypriest?com. But don't put the question mark in there. And I'm kind of rushing us along a little bit, because believe it or not, it is time for the picks of the week. And let's see, who wants to volunteer to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
So, Father Kyle Sanders is the one that actually told me about this, and it's really cool. So for those of you that don't follow me on Twitter or anything like that, or just don't know me in real life. I love technology. However, I also really love to write down all of my to-do lists and just things like that. So I use Field Notes, or I also have a couple of Moleskins that I use. So I'm really big on writing things down instead of using electronic to-do lists. My mom thinks I'm crazy, like, because when I go to the store, I actually have everything written down, because everything else in my life is so electronic. But but there's just something about it, like my to-do list, writing it down, scratching it off. It just helps my brain keep everything better organized and priorities. So he told me this week about this new, or it's not really new, about this website called Bullet Journal. And so it's a way to take notes and do to-do lists and kind of organize any of your notes in a very specific way. Now, you know, I'm not going to do all of it, but it does have some really nice tips in here. And so it's bulletjournal.com, and can help you just organize all of your analog notes. So the tagline for the website is something like analog in a digital world, which I thought was kind of funny. You know, it's like an analog note-taking system for the digital age. And, you know, it's kind of like in class. I never took my computer to class in college, though at that time it was not really a thing. I mean, laptops were starting to become affordable, but still a lot of people had, and laptops were still huge and heavy. I mean, if you had one, they were really thick, and so carrying it around was not a thing. But so in class, in school, I always grew up taking notes with by hand. And even now, you know, when I go to meetings or conferences, things for work, I write everything down. Things don't stick in my brain as well when I type it as when I write it out. So I guess that's kind of where that's from. So bullet journal, just really cool if you're like me and like to keep to-do lists on paper and notebooks and things, just a way for you to sort through notes, do a calendar, just lots of different tips and tricks in here.
I'll have to check that out. I'm kind of the same way. I like to write things down.
Yeah. So it's just, I mean, you know, if you don't do it 100% prescribed, obviously you don't have to, but it's just got some really good ideas in there. So.
Okay. Thank you, Sarah. Father Corey.
Well, since Jeff did one top 10 list, if you will, I'll do another. This is a list. You know, one thing that we are encouraged, and of course, St. Paul tells us, you know, that we should pray without ceasing, that we should always be praying. We should always be sending up prayers to God. And so my list, or my pick of the week, is called 10 Really Short Prayers to Say During the Day. And these are prayers that you can memorize, things that are very simple, very quick. Some of them are longer. You got like the Come Holy Spirit prayer, which is a little bit longer. You got the Our Father, which is a little bit longer. But then you've got things that are just little short snippets. Lord, I am not worthy. Lord, I am not worthy. You know, the Jesus prayer, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Things like, blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, things that you can say is just a quick prayer to throw up there. One of the best, the sign of the cross. It's one of the best prayers that we can pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, just simple prayers like that that you can say throughout your day to just keep yourself always praying.
Great. Cool. Great idea. Great tips. Thank you, Father. Did I take your pick of the week with the top 10 things
you did,
should?
But that's all right.
I'm sorry. I should look at the. I didn't look at the doc to see who had picked what.
No, so. I never put it in there.
So. Oh, okay. Well, then I don't feel so bad. Mine, and I probably talked about this before, but it's been a while, and I travel a lot. I'm an airline pilot, and it's an app, and I think it's on iOS and Android, called Mass Times. And it's so handy to have, and apparently they must have been updating it since I last used it. Now, when you put in, you know, like it says nearby churches, and it uses your GPS to figure out where you are, and then it shows you the distance from where you are or where it thinks you are. And the cool thing that I never noticed before is that if they have a green set of hands praying, That means that they have an upcoming Mass. And if they have a red set of hands, that means that they've all, you know, the last Mass has already happened for that day. So it really helps you to kind of locate if you're from out of town and you want to see who has yet had their last Mass and, you know, how far they are. They have a map view. They have all kinds of great features on this, and it's free. Now, they do have an option of you turning off the advertising in it for, I'm not sure how much, but I'm going to do that, I think, and just to help support them. And again, it's called Mass Times, and you can find it on your favorite application store. All right, Father Corey, fathercorey.org.
Yep, frcorey.org. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and so on at frcoreystica, last name spelled STICHA.
Awesome. Thanks again for being here with us as one of the hosts for Catholic Weekend this, and for hanging out late in the day. Sarah, thank you for showing up today.
It's my pleasure. No, so you can find me at CatholicJerky.com, also on Twitter at CatholicJerky, but I'm blogging every day now, so come join, read. Good
I'll
stuff,
do that.
I hope.
It's been a while since I've looked at your site, so I'm going to have to do that.
Well, you're missing out on some pretty good stuff the last couple weeks. I started a fight and everything. It's been great.
Oh, wow. I can't wait to get over
there. Why we need cocktail parties again?
Yeah, that one's been doing really well.
Well, the music's about to stop, so I better tell you that I'm the Airline Pilot Guy, and you can find me at airlinepilotguy.com, on Twitter, Facebook, all Airline Pilot Guy. So, as I mentioned, head over to sqpn.com, look at the ways you can help support us. And also, if you're interested in coming to the party, and it's going to be the best party of the year, if you're Catholic, you need to be there. It's the CNMC in Atlanta on June 7th, 2015. Be there or be square. Hope you have a great Catholic weekend. Take care and God bless.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.